Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. In part two of Active Shooter Training, we talked to Wilbur about his four steps of emergency management, specifically being prevention, preparedness, response, and also recovery, realizing a company needs to understand these four steps to not only help employees deal with an active shooter, also train them, also work together as a team if some event does occur, even a natural disaster too. And understanding two, reassessment every 6 months about allows the company and new staff understand how the system works and how working with employees helps overall team morale. All right, so it's great to talk, and we'll hear from over afterwards too.
Four phases of emergency management. We go through prevention, then you go to preparedness, mm-hmm. then you go response, and then you go into recovery. Okay. Each one has its own field where you have to, everyone has to take part of each part. And it's not just the employer, it's the employees too. And the recovery phase. What do we do? The counseling. What do we go through?
After an event, after shooting.
Okay. Even during prevention, how do we manage? What do we need to do as an employer to bring all these together?
If you don't have the first step right, how do you get the third, fourth step right?
Exactly.
It's impossible.
Right. Cool. There's, prevention is everything. How do we prevent it? What are we going to do? How do we bring in the counselors? Mm-hmm. Do we have a third party doing the counseling, or someone doing the background checks?
Yeah.
So the counseling should be in-house.
In-house, okay.
But the
just initially, at least especially, just to figure out what's going on.
Right.
Well, you're setting up a system to where when something happens, you're not bouncing around because it's already chaos.
Right.
I mean, a system would give you a sense of not only peace, but also, okay, now you're not going to get hysterical again. You're not going here. You know, just follow the system. It's already in play. That point, just keep going, no matter how good or bad you feel.
Right.
What's response recovery? What's that portion?
Response is basically, how do we handle it? If it happens, mm-hmm. how do we evacuate? If it happens on the outside, how do we barricade? These are functions or actions that I would train, sand table.
Good.
And the live scenarios.
The models. Okay.
All the models.
You see the big picture of the building and the rooms and the stairs and where things are.
Yep. Who's the CPR gurus?
Mm-hmm.
Those individuals I train, because I train CPR through American Heart Association, American Red Cross, and ASHI. So I would train them how to put on a tourniquet. Do you need to put two tourniquets on?
Yeah.
How to pack a wound. Do all the major first aid. Yes.
Wow. And recovery, what's recovery, the last part?
Recovery is basically now, once it's everything said and done.
Once
and
you're at people, once the situation's taken care of, whatever
yes,
it might be.
Taken care of, we're in assembly area, now we're having family members come and pick up their loved ones.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4, a year from now,
mm-hmm.
what are we doing? Do these individuals need counseling?
Mm-hmm.
And how much counseling? It's up to the individual.
You can't put a number on
exactly.
days or whatever it is. It's per that person.
Are we bringing in people from the state, the county, to come in and start to help with the counseling and trying to get people back into the building or working? Is the building cordoned off in certain areas of where that active shooter scenario happened? Can people actually go back to work there? Or are people going to be working from another location or from house, from home?
Yeah.
This is all recovery is a lot to do with the company and the individual too, but more of the company. What can we give to our victims?
Mm-hmm.
How do we handle this? Recovery is also for the individual, for the employer. It's basically, what do I need to do to get myself back to work?
Yeah.
What can we implement to make it better? This is risk assessment again.
Now so it goes back. It goes back. Starts over again.
Yes, it starts back over again. Yes. Now we're planning on what we need to do next now to eliminate this from happening. Now,
yeah.
So it's everything's it just goes back in a revolving circle.
And you hope it never happens,
right?
But by planning for it, then your best plan is allows things to if you want to take care of right away. Versus, like you said, if you don't have recovery in line, even though you may hopefully never use it, then you get to the point, okay, are we going to close the company down? Are we going to keep it open? How do we know that person has that much time? So now you're kind of wasting more time by not planning for it.
Right. Now this will all be in action because you will mm-hmm. go through the steps. The company will go through the steps, minimize cost, for both the employee, getting them back to work, getting the company back to work. How do we handle not only the employees, but all the administrative staff? What are they going through? How are they going through? How are they handling things? Is what about clients from the outside?
Clients for services, or if you import-export stuff, what's the delay going to be?
Right.
Are we going to be able to service people still? Are we going to minimize that? Are we going to limit that? Do we have insurance that covers that?
Right.
All of it.
All of that.
And you'll think about that's outside the box, because you're thinking about just day-to-day.
Right.
I'm just here.
Right.
Wow.
So it's a lot. There's a lot that impacts a company when it comes to an active shooter scenario or any other emergency situation that arises. Yeah. I'll go through and I'll just start breaking it down through the different ones of what we do. Conduct a risk assessment.
That's number one, yep.
Right. Emergency management plan.
Good.
Which is, once you do the risk assessment, it automatically
becomes
a emergency management plan. And then you adopt the plan.
Yeah.
Implement and adopt the plan. Go through it, and then it talks about what is part of an emergency management plan. You talk about hazardous, address all hazards, roles and responsibilities. Mm-hmm.
So who's going to do this? Who's going to do this? Where are we going to go? So breaking down, you're basically getting a wall chart of each situation, what's going on, and who's involved in this, who's going to be CPR trained, who's going to be EMT trained, who has the rating, who can we add to it, and where can we put things in play? So you're putting everything, all pieces of the puzzle in play in case it does happen.
Do we need placards on the wall
mm-hmm.
to tell people where to go?
Some people are visual, some people are auditory, some people are hands-on.
Yes.
So you want to hit all their ability to learn and understand and apply. So like I said before, their emotional response doesn't go into freeze.
Right.
Which is huge.
Yes.
Huge.
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
I go to the next one. It just goes into it. This is about the course is a good 4.5 hours, maybe 6, depending on the size of the company.
And going back to the last slide you had too, now you're implementing with people with number, I think it was 14? Yeah, that one I think was 15. To where you're implementing people with hospitals. Where's the local hospital? What ambulance do we call? What's our outside resources for mental health? How do we coordinate with fire and law enforcement to make sure they're aware of our training also,
mm-hmm.
and how to get in and out of our building?
Now we're talking about community partners.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're talking about. Community partners is police, fire, EMTs.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about American Red Cross. These events, American Red Cross, you want to get involved and already have these people and have a relationship with the departments right now in case this happens. That way, law enforcement knows the layout of your building. Fire department knows the layout of your building.
You're helping them tremendously.
Exactly.
Wow.
And if you don't, they have a form, a document, actual saved document that they can go to, and it will tell you exactly the straight layout.
Why not use technology?
Exactly.
You know, they're not going to pull out a piece of paper in their trunk. If they pull up on the computer, boom, ready to go.
Right.
It makes their job easier.
Easier.
And they can get in and out of the building faster to help you as the employees mm-hmm. and the company owner.
And then you also have, when you're going to the assembly area,
mm-hmm.
the actual supervisor of each assembly area will have emergency kit, a critical kit. And that critical kit gives a layout of the building. Not just the inside of the building, but the aerial of the building too. So that SWAT knows exactly how to move, where to go, based off of the information that
and where to find you if you're in that area to help you get in, get out of there faster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing when you put this out there how much faster response would be and how many more people would be saved by doing this.
Yes.
Well.
Who's involved in the prevention side of it? We're talking about the facility managers, security. You're talking about supervisors. You're talking about all employees. Janitors and groundskeepers.
Sounds like anyone who's breathing, who works there, around there, or part of there is part of the program.
Yes, day-to-day activities. Yeah. Everyone is involved in this.
Amazing.
And
like I said, knowing the exits, knowing the building access, knowing things are worth, how to get in and out of there is the key.
Yes. Exactly. So, and it just goes through it. We just go through each one.
Talk about the locked doors.
Yes,
the locked doors. Passes to everything also.
Right. Yeah. And making sure that there's cameras. Do you have cameras? Do we have enough cameras? There's a lot of cameras, and there's cameras that you need in specific areas that might scroll. I mean, just that move, have movement. But they're near doors. If you have bushes or something like that, you need to adjust and put cameras in other areas because you don't want to have too many blind spots around your actual entry.
Well, in checking every 6 months that you had mentioned, some plants, the trees die.
Yeah.
Some plants, they have more leaves in certain times of year. So you're going to, and seasonally, you can actually cause more invisibility or lose visibility because of that, too.
Yeah.
How many people have cameras that you know that have no, I guess, recording, or they're just there as a visual deterrent?
Well,
that's why I laughed a second ago. I'm like, I know some people have that.
I see people just have the batteries in there where you see the blinking light. Nothing's going on.
There's no connection.
It is a deterrent.
Yes.
But is it a deterrent for an active shooter?
No.
Because it's not helping us. We need to see it before it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's just a deterrent, they don't care.
And if they're an employee of the company, they already know it doesn't work.
Right. That's correct.
And some people that don't have them, they go, and we'll ask them, well, where do you record this? We don't really. We record somewhere off-site, somewhere we don't even know where it is.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, and you won't even see it. Or maybe it deletes after the day or a week.
Yeah. So. It's amazing that because people know that, people don't even worry about that anymore.
Right.
Yeah, wow. It's amazing.
Oh, and then we talked about the access controls. Mm-hmm. I was talking about the badges and all that stuff. It goes into, is the one thing I was talking about, the prevention of workplace violence, positive attitude and climate, less likely for violence, welcoming, you want to have a welcoming area, you want connectiveness in the area, everyone is on the same page, everyone agrees, respect for one another, we need to show respect, we do it in schools. Why can't we have that
required in schools?
Exactly. And cooperation.
Yeah, teamwork.
Yes. Those right there is going to give a positive environment.
And just the protocol you're mentioning, too, that you would set up for someone would almost require that for it to actually work.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes.
And those are just human traits. Sorry. Right. Human traits. Positive human traits.
Right.
You know? Sorry. Right.
So... that's basically it on that part, and it just goes in.
You're reducing the risk from a psychological, physical, building aspect that allows employees and companies to be safe.
Right.
Who wouldn't want that?
Right.
That's basically it. Who wouldn't want that?
Right. And then we just go into knowing the facts of the targeted workplace.
Mm-hmm.
What are the sudden, they're rarely sudden. You know it's going to, because
there's a warning.
The complaint. Yes.
There's a warning sign somewhere.
And sometimes the active shooter gives those warnings, either on online, phone calls, emails, person, and those are all telltale signs that we need to.
And the communication, when you drop communication, then everyone gets quiet because you don't want to get fired, whatever it is, then that's when it happens.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Or maybe a portion of it.
Yeah. That's a piece of it, because people like, I don't want to go and talk about this. It's just going to go away. It's not my problem.
Or I'm not worried about it. Or I don't want to get fired because I brought it up.
Right.
I want to be the person who tells everyone that.
Yes.
Whatever it's called.
Yes.
Yeah. Snitch, whatever it is. Yeah. Back to high school again.
Right. Then you go to preparedness. Mm-hmm. We're going into preparedness phase. Good, and we're talking about employers' priorities. What is our priorities? So when it goes on, and I give them little pictures of the sand tables I was telling you about.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So they get an understanding, the students get an understanding, or the employees get an understanding of what we need to do to build sand tables.
Well, you think someone sometimes will go through the front door, go down the same hallway, past the same restroom, past Johnny's desk, and they end up on their desk. That's, we're humans, right?
Yes.
We want routine.
Yes.
I do that 8:15 every day, and that's all I worry about.
Yeah.
You see that sand, that model... They go, wow, I didn't realize that's over there. I realize there's something over there.
Right.
I had no idea. So when they see that, they can at least, if they're a visual learner, okay, if I have something going on, I got to get out this way. I know where that is.
Right. I didn't know that there was a door over there. Okay, I can't go to my evacuation spot because of the active shooter. Where's another
one? My plan B, my plan C?
Exactly. Wow. These are giving you that. Wow. This gives you all that.
Well, and architectural layout wouldn't be enough.
Right.
Because you're not getting depth, you're not getting where people are and where things would be,
right.
Where they change over time too.
And it's good not only for the employee, but again, we're talking about our community partners.
Mm-hmm.
If they're looking at this and they're playing with us, playing with the company,
Police, fire, city, they know
every piece of that building, every part of that building. Where bushes are at, where you got the little trees and potted plants and all.
Exactly.
They know that.
They know where a good hiding spot might be, for example.
Right.
Okay.
Then when you go in response, we go into the response area, how to call 911 individuals. Isolate, evacuate as soon as possible. Collect as much information as don't try to be a hero, because we're not trying to be a hero. We're trying to get out of there and make sure everyone's alive. We'll reduce as many casualties as much as possible.
What's the biggest problem with people calling 911?
The biggest problem is everyone tries to do it at the same time, and sometimes it overloads.
Okay.
But I would say don't even sit on a landline.
Yeah.
Use your mobile phone and move. That way you're not limited of moving.
Got it. You have to be mobile.
You got to be mobile. There's no reason to sit on a landline. If you're gonna use a landline, dial 911 and put the receiver down and
that's
move.
It. Okay.
It's an open line. 911 is going to listen to everything and they're going to track where that's coming from.
So let them do their job.
Let 911 do their job.
With your cell phone, should you turn your cell phone to vibrate, turn it off, or what should you do?
Turn it to vibrate.
Okay.
And that's basically it. If you're going to dial 911, turn it to vibrate, and they will be listening listen to the whole thing. They can ping your phone.
Okay.
If your phone shuts, or not shut off, if it become disconnected, they ping your phone and tell you exactly where you are.
So give them, like I said, let them do their job by finding out where you are and exactly what your location might be.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then it goes on, police priorities. Then we talk about what their priorities are, police officers' priorities, and EMTs and all. They're gonna do what you give, whatever you give them information, they're gonna go by that.
They're just doing a math equation in their head.
Yes.
Okay, what do I have going on? Okay, how do I react to that?
Right.
Equation?
How many people you have in the building?
Like,
how many people do you have in the building on a daily basis?
Yes.
How many entrances and exits do you have? How many windows do you have?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is once you sent them the information too, they have the basic stuff. Okay, who do you see today? How many people were today? Was there an event today?
Mm-hmm.
Was there more people than expected?
Mm-hmm.
Was there something going on that there may be a different exit from those people than normal?
And then you go a little bit in depth, they're going to ask you, where do most of your people be? Are located in the building.
Assembled. Okay.
Assembled.
Okay.
So they don't know. They need to get to those areas quickly in that side of the building or that part of the building to stop the shooter quickly.
Because
they know that you're going to be coming out.
Lower the risk.
Right. Okay. And then in assembly areas, are we having law enforcement in assembly areas?
Yeah.
We should, because the active shooter can easily drop his weapon and walk right out with everyone else.
Okay.
And then they might be the people know that he's the active shooter or scared to say anything.
Yeah, they panic.
So we have law enforcement in those certain areas too.
Well, so you get the visual deterrent also if they're there.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Does the police or the 911 ask you to identify the shooter itself? And what do they ask when they identify the shooter?
They will ask them.
So for example, they drop their gun, then how do you identify them?
You just go from the top down. So if you use black hair, because when someone's scared, sometimes they don't remember the.
That's what I'm saying. How do they go through that program to go, okay, how do I assess and make sure I can just do it, not think about it?
You just go from the top down.
Okay.
Black hair, white hair, whatever. Facial tone.
Mm-hmm.
What are they wearing? Shoes they're wearing. Any distinctive thing that you saw on that individual. Right.
Okay.
Did this person have a little streak in their hair or white hair or streak? Does this person have a T-shirt that had something that says it on it that distinct? You can see it in a group of people. It's really easy to find that person.
Yeah.
Unless they shed their clothes. But most people, active shooter is not going to do that. They want either to cause as many casualties, and either they're going to take their life, or they want the police officer to take their life.
So you know it's their last day on earth for the most part.
Most of them, yeah.
Wow.
That's their thinking.
Okay. So there's no way to not save them, but to tell them, hey, look, put your gun down, let's help you.
That would be great if you were able to do that. Most of them put your weapon down. Put your weapon down, and they put their weapon. But usually protocols, they want to just stop this individual as fast as possible. Especially if he's aiming his weapon.
Yeah, so because you're trying to prevent future deaths or future injuries. Okay.
Right.
But as an employee of that company, if you see the guy or girl and know the guy or girl and you think you can help them, should you try to help them and communicate with them or just get out of there?
Get out of there.
Got it.
Okay. Don't be a hero.
Okay.
Don't be a hero.
That's part of being not being a hero. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't be a hero.
Don't try to talk him down or something like that. Okay. Right. Well, good. Glad I know that.
Because at this point, they at that mindset with I'm done. Y'all didn't want to listen to me?
I remember thinking, I saw this on TV about it 5 years ago, and they did talk him down. No. You're just the employee. Get the heck out of it. Let the police work out.
Do that.
Okay.
At least they have ballistics if they're going to talk.
They get shot.
The ballistics might help them from getting shot or getting killed.
Yeah.
You don't have nothing.
Yeah.
You don't go to work with ballistic.
It's too heavy. Can't work that way.
Right.
Okay.
These are some of the things that I use. Are you showing? Yeah, some of the visual things that I show. Devices that you can use to barricade yourself. Some of the doors should have certain devices where you push.
The one being for schools too. Simple.
You just step on that and it locks the door in place.
Wow.
And it takes this person has to really do some work to get this door down because usually those big doors are heavy and thick.
Yeah.
So, something that's really simple, tying a doorknob and everything and handle to heavy equipment, keeping it closed. If you have the time, you don't have the time, then just don't even worry about it. Just get out of there. But then you talked about. Criteria for response for decision is evacuation. So we're talking again, evacuation procedures and everything, and knowing how to evacuate the building. This is what I was talking about.
Yeah, it's a good visual.
This should be in every area, in all everyone's area, based on where their exit is.
So it's a map of the actual building or the office floor. At that point, you're talking about here's an exit here, here, here. Here's the handicap exit. Access here is the stairs. Here's an elevator, so people know exactly, again, the visual part. If I'm just walking by a building and I got to get out of there, I know exactly where I am and where someone else might be.
Right. You're going to have a little icon that says, you are here.
Got it.
So then they'll know exactly where you are. Are you in a gold area, in your blue area, or are you in a red area?
What does the colors usually mean?
Just the area. So if the area, if the building marks it, if they mark their walls a certain color, it might not be this color, but whatever, they're going to say this is a gold area. All this area is the gold area. This is the door designated for the gold area.
Oh, got it, guys. So the gold area exit is going to be this way. Okay, got it.
So this is the gold area. Okay, this is the blue area. This might be the front, but you might not be able to get to the front.
Yeah.
Because that's where the action's coming from. So you might have to go to the gold area. This side right here might have to go to the red area.
You call coordinate based on the exit or the strategy for one to get out of there. Okay.
Right.
Wow.
And then these are the doors I'm referring to. So when
the door. Yep.
Yeah. The employees will see what I'm talking about, what type of doors you're talking about. These doors, when you push that lever, the door open, and then it'll sound off the alarm. On the outside, there's no handle on the door. So it's a one-way door.
Wow. Okay. Got it.
And we just go into barricading. What do we do? How do we barricade? Show them little pictures, too.
Have them do it so they can do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Have
That's
them do
the key.
It. And then we talk about the special needs. Yeah. What do we do? How do we handle special needs? Are they located in certain areas where they can... Their wheelchairs, if they have a wheelchair, do they have a medic bag on the back of their wheelchair? Utilize those things.
At that point, do they give them more or easier access to get out of a situation faster or an exit faster?
Right.
See if that works for them.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. It goes. This is that kit, crisis kit I was telling you about.
Got it. Okay.
Talks about the crisis kit. What goes in the crisis kit? Who is in charge of the crisis kit? We designate all of that. This is a company. I give them information. They figure out who they want to designate it. We talk about it. And I go over with the individuals that they designate, and then I teach them up. I coach them.
Well, then everyone knows upscale who that designated person is.
Yeah.
And if they see him in an event. Hey, I know that person knows CPR. Come with me. I have somebody who needs CPR.
Right.
So everyone knows.
They know.
So it's communicating everyone together.
Right.
Wow.
Okay. And not just your area would know your CPR, your CPR individual guru. You will know everybody's CPR guru.
Perfect.
So
we were talking about just teamwork in general. So you're getting communication to happen through this that may not have happened in a normal workplace.
Right.
Which is great.
Yeah. Just goes through it with the key assessments, the key elements and responsibilities.
Breaks everything down in detail.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And okay. It just keeps going. And then I'll just go on to the crisis, the recovery. This is now we're going to talk about. We talk about the crisis and recovery for the employer,
mm-hmm.
what they need to do, and we talk about the crisis and recovery for the employer and what they need to do. Everyone has their own agenda and what they need to do in order for them to move forward.
And PIO, too, like you mentioned, the public information officer, allows people to communicate with people outside the company of, okay, this is what the situation is, what's going on, we're going to have families meet here for pickup. We're going to deal with the media and other companies that deal with our company here. The big company will talk. So basically, there's no room for error where communication is lost.
Right. That's it.
What happens, I think, some when people that they don't know, then they panic.
Right. That's
exactly. That's what you want to avoid, either right. with, say, for example, a school setting with parents, an outdoor shooting event, too. I had someone who went to a concert. I think they're there. I'm not sure where they are. That was the biggest thing, I think, after the Vegas shooting was there's so much uncertainty of how things were going to happen
right,
afterwards.
Right,
There was two people that were not accounted for.
For days.
Yeah.
It took a while. And that something that mass is usually likely. It happens like that, too.
Wow.
Because you weren't prepared. You're not prepared for
no,
it.
No.
We still talk more about the recovery support. Mm-hmm. Now we talk about the employee, what they do, things that they go through.
Their access to different healthcare providers or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And also state assistance. What is the state going to do? We talk about what the impact of American Red Cross, what they do for us or do for a company. What is the state going to do for the company? How they can help fund and assistance. What type of assistance do they provide for companies?
You're saving so much time by doing it ahead of time versus trying to do it on the spot.
Right.
You know, it's...
And that's what delays. That's what delays a lot of things.
Wow.
People get upset when they're delayed. Things are delayed. Well, how am I going to feed my family?
Yeah.
I'm not working. I can't work right now. So how am I going to feed my family? All this is already worked out.
And when you're in a panic mode, you don't sometimes do the right steps. It delays it even more and more and more.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
And then we just go down and give a summary about everything, making sure everyone's on the. We all understand.
Exactly.
And then we're going to go out and do hands-on. And then we'll go through certain things. We'll walk the building.
Once you have the system in play, like you said, then the hands-on makes it very easy. Just follow what we've been trained to do.
Right.
Follow not the book, but the book of where we're going to go, what we're going to do. Then you get the emotional response, oh, I didn't realize it was this way. So you do it the right way, you have more confidence that they can do it the right way.
Right.
And not panic.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot, but in the sense where your ROI is huge when a company gets it down.
Yes.
I'm assuming.
Yes. Yeah.
You
know? Now, I'm not going to say that one day is going to be the end all. This is like everyone has to get together. We're going to meet a couple more times to make sure everything's running smoothly. You got everything in place. You implemented everything. And then we'll do another risk assessment, see where you are from there. We'll just go from there.
And from 6 months down the line, if there's a change in employees, someone leaves, someone gets hurt, someone's on sick leave, let's have someone else take their spot.
Yes. Exactly.
And you kind of work it that way to where you have a plan A, B, and C, even with your team, to understand scenarios, even if there is a building problem where there's a flood, three to the building, where are you going to move to? How do we assess that? Because part of this building is closed off for a while until it's done.
Right.
So how do you continue to adjust as the company or the physical building adjusts to?
Right.
Amazing.
Same thing, like I said, when they're doing, the detectives are in that area looking at, still doing their work and everything, that area is going to be cordoned off. How are we going to move? And that's finance. How are we going to move finance out somewhere else?
To where? And then they congest some area. And then how do we change the whole plan?
Right.
Well.
Yeah.
How many times does an active shooter, in the sense where someone comes back and does the same, I guess, become an active shooter again at the same company, same building, same facility?
I never heard of that ever happening.
What's that risk is? I guess there's a zero risk at this point.
Yeah, I never heard of that happening. And I hope someone can tell me if that has
ever
happened.
Yeah.
Please let me know, because I would love to know about that.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I never seen anything like that happen. Most of the people that actually go in and do a shooting, they either kill themselves, or they get killed, or the police officer end up taking their lives, or they go to prison. Yeah. And there's very few that have gone to prison.
They've actually made it out alive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very few.
Wow. Okay. Anything else to add?
I think that's basically, the CPR is critical.
Yeah, okay.
So CPR is not in this course.
Sure.
But I do teach it. So it's required for
the actual company to follow through with this plan. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you need someone who's CPR trained, first aid trained, basically those two, correct?
Yes, it's part of that. So when I teach this, I also teach CPR and all the tourniquets and packing wounds and everything, stuff like that. How to deal with that. So, and I also teach security guards and security. I train those individuals. So.
Why do they need training? I know why, but they may not know why.
You definitely need majority of security officers don't really have that extensive training, executive protection training, to what to look for.
Yeah.
You're looking at your cameras and everything and your CTVs. There's certain things and indicators that you need to look for of a possible problems that may happen. What do I need to do? Do I need to call, tell them lock down doors, lock doors? This is happening. Should they be monitoring something like that? Do they have more than one facility? Yeah. Are they communicating with each other?
Is this officer talking to someone else? Where they're working together. At that point, if I say this, it means this.
Mm-hmm.
That point, we do this right away.
Right.
So that communication teamwork again. Doesn't matter if you're in a company or employer or security guard system, you have to make sure you're working together.
Right.
It's a lot of stuff that people don't realize that's important to keep you and everyone around you safe.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Yep.
Anything else?
That's about it.
Wilbur, that was a lot. I'm going to replay this show on YouTube. I put your information on here, now put them on YouTube too, ways to contact you, because I think companies in general don't understand the need for this. They may see it on TV once every couple months, even hopefully less than that. When they do, they never think it could be my company.
Yes, that's exactly it. They never think it's going to be. I wasn't even looking for this. I didn't expect this at all.
No. Thank you all for being the Crooked Spine Show.
Thank you.
And I hope this helps everything and people understand too how to be safe in any type of situation. Also, all right. Thanks for watching. That's all it is. How do you get the word out there more?
In part one, we asked the question, "Are you safe at work?" In part two, Wilbur gave you the steps of how to make your company safe. Understanding, yes, there is a very low risk your company, depending on what it is, has a chance of having an active shooter, even a natural disaster too. By doing this training, allows you to understand your environment, the people around you, and also exits for one too, and how to respond to an event so you keep yourself less stressed in a daily environment, also less stressed if an event does occur. All right, so go to the show notes for the highlights of this overall talk, part two of active shooter training. If not, even go to the show notes for a previous podcast too, or even contact Wilbur and understand how he can help you and your company become a safer environment. Have a great week.